Hello, and welcome back to Women's Wellness Radio. Happy to have you here. I'm your host, Bridget Danner, and the show is all about interviewing the experts in the field of women's health, and today is no exception. Today on the show, we have Mira and Jason Calton. Their website is CaltonNutrition.com, and they are the co-authors of a few books. Their most recent is called The Micronutrient Miracle: The 28-Day Plan to Lose Weight, Increase Your Energy, and Reverse Disease. So what we're going to talk about today is their story. They've got a really great story and how they became so passionate and knowledgeable about micronutrients. We're going to talk about the book and some of its tenets, and then we're going to zero in on some women's health issues that they cover in the book. Their plan basically can be customized for, certain categories of issues, some of which very much relate to our listeners and some common questions we get about things like PCOS and regulating hormones. So it's going to be a great show. So first of all, welcome Mira and Jason.
Thanks for having us today.
Thanks, Bridget.
Yeah, super excited. So I saw you guys at an event this winter, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's you guys!" I met you. So I bought what I think was your first book, Naked Calories. Is that your first book?
It was. We remember that. Yeah, Naked Calories was our first book, and we still love it, but it was all about theory. And that's great. And you liked it because you like nutrition theory. But what we found is that most people ended up saying, scratching their heads and saying, really interesting, got a lot of information, but I don't know what to do with it. Like, what do I actually do? So that's really why we wrote the Micronutrient Miracle. It's as a plan, as a protocol, because we kept getting that same question, what's next?
I think this happens a lot. I remember I interviewed Isabella Wentz a few months ago, and she has this, great book about Hashimoto's, and now she's writing her plan book. So I guess we kind of work out the theories in our head, and then we maybe zero in on how to explain the practicalities to others, huh?
Yeah, it's a natural progression. In fact, Isabel is a great friend of ours. We actually talked with her quite a bit when we were doing our hormone regulation section of this book, The Micronutrient Miracle. So, yeah, and for us, it's just a labor of love. You know, we have our story, which we'll talk a little bit about, and that really propelled us into this almost invisible world of micronutrients because, you know, it's kind of the dark side of food and nobody really knows about it. We all talk about carbohydrates, fats, and proteins a lot. I mean, we do that to death in the nutrition world. But we're now starting to see that maybe we've been looking in the wrong direction. Maybe we really need to focus in more on these micronutrients. And so we're here to scream the message from rooftops.
Talk, yeah, let's go back in time a bit. You guys have such a great story. Sort of starting with you, Mira, and some health problems you're experiencing, and then how you two met. Can you take
Yeah,
that away?
of course. So yeah, like a lot of women, I was really busy. I was career driven. So I was 30. I was living in New York City. I was a publicist, so I was running around and constantly busy, and had some crazy hours. And I thought I was really healthy. I was like a size two, and if that. And I looked really thin. And everyone thought, I thought everything was fine. But I started getting aches and pains, especially in my hips and my lower back. And I said, I'm wearing shoes. They're too high. I know better. I'm stayed out too late last night, or my hip hop class was too hard yesterday. Or I started making excuses for why I didn't feel well. And that worked for a little while. The excuses seemed to make sense, but it got worse rather than got better. And it got to the point that I was on my sofa, lying down, computer on my chest, making excuses why I wasn't going to my clients' events anymore. I could not get out, could not suffer the pain to go anywhere. So I decided to go see the doctor, and I went to the doctor, and he looked completely confused when he told me that I had the bone density of an 80-year-old woman. So I had advanced osteoporosis. He told me I had to get on medications. I was never going to be able to get off of them. And that's all he told me. Leave New York, live with your family. You are going to need them. And I was like, wow, all that for, a little pain that I was ignoring. And I started, I did. I had to leave New York. I had to move in with my family. I had to have them take care of me. And I started to look into the only thing I knew about, other than the medications that he had told me to take, because I had already looked at those, and those were pretty horrific. And I didn't want to have all the side effects from the medications they wanted me on. And I started to look at the only other thing, which was calcium. He said, you need to take calcium. So I was like, okay. So I was laid out, I was on my back, and I was typing in calcium. What could I find out about it? I was like, oh, it's a mineral. Neat. Oh, it helps with bones. That makes sense. And then I said, oh, but you also need magnesium. I was like, uh-oh, whole rabbit hole here. I'm not really sure where this is going yet. And then it said vitamin D and then K and boron and vitamin E. It just all started rolling around in my head and I needed help. So I found a doctor of nutrition who was willing to work with me. I was a New York type A personality. I guess I still am. I guess I was a bit demanding. And I demanded that this person start focusing on my health. And we did. And we worked together for 2 years on a protocol, which is actually in the Micronutrient Miracle. And in 2 years, we went back to the doctor and I had completely reversed my osteoporosis. So I don't even have osteoporosis anymore. I haven't for over 10 years now. And not only did I get rid of my osteoporosis, but in exchange for that, I found a husband. So I was very happy about that.
So your first, the first nutritionist you found was Jason, is that right?
Yeah, I found Jason. He was not working on this at all at the time, but he was willing to work with me on it. And together we reversed it and started this passionate journey that we're on right now about micronutrients.
That's awesome. You know, I'm curious, how did that doctor even know to check for osteoporosis at your young age? I think that's a little surprising.
Well, I was in so much pain. I was completely not walking any longer. My back was throbbing and I was extremely frail. I thought I had just dieted myself thin. Mm-hmm. I was doing 2 hip hop classes a day. I was dressing celebrities, so I always wanted to be thin. I was eating, spinach salad as much as I can all day long and fat-free muffins. And I was literally just, you know, I was extremely little. And he thought, you know, her lower back hurts and she's kind of frail looking. Let's check her bones.
Yeah, well, thank goodness for that, I guess. I got at least the process started. So you two cured Mira's health, so to speak, and then you went on to study micronutrients more. You got married and you started what I believe is called the Calton Project. Tell us about that and what that project, where that project took you.
Yeah, it was quite a turn because before that, of course, I had been doing clinical practice with nutrition. And after we reversed our osteoporosis, I really started to look at nutrition differently. I felt like, you know, my education had given me part of the equation, but I was missing a big part of it. And I had always been a little impressed with what Weston A. Price did back in the 1930s. And some people might know that he was a dentist, actually, that traveled around to remote tribes and studied dietary habits. And I said, well, why don't we try that today here in right now? What would you say to going around the world and living with some remote tribes and trying to figure out and really looking at sitting with, talking to, and trying to understand diet from a totally different perspective and lifestyle habits? And so Mira said, yeah, that sounds fun. And we did it. We didn't know how long it would be to start off with, but it ended up being 7 years in 134 countries. And, you know, I think what we bring to the table and why we came back so impassioned about writing our books and getting this micronutrient message out is because, like I said earlier on, I think we've been looking in the wrong direction. We discovered that it isn't about dietary philosophy. It isn't about a plant-based diet or a meat-based diet or a paleo diet or a vegan diet. We found people all over the world who were eating a very diverse diet, and all of them still had health in common. What they really had in common, or that common element, was micronutrient sufficiency. And that's why we talk about these essential micronutrients. And it's really an exciting time in health and nutrition because we're starting to connect the dots now between the health conditions and the diseases that we're all suffering from and the micronutrient deficiencies that we're all plagued with. And that's really what we discovered. And, you know, that's why all of our books focus on becoming micronutrient sufficient first and foremost.
Yeah. So one thing I've heard you two say on another interview was that you two are always pushing each other to be bigger and better. And, you know, you've traveled the world and you've written these books and you've made supplements. So I'm going to put you guys on the spot here and just say, you know, what's your secret? How do you help each other, you know, push past fear and grow into this really exciting life you've created?
Well, you know, I'll share a story. When we first met, Jason said to me one thing that completely changed my entire outlook on relationships. I was, you know, like a lot of people, I wasn't all that interested in spending that much time with the person I was dating. and I really didn't care what they thought of me, or I wanted to be my own person. And that's fine if that's how you want to live your life, but then you can only live within your own desires for yourself, and you can't really grow at the rate that you might be able to otherwise. He said to me, you know, I want to live my life with someone. So when I'm old and gray, they have my memories and we can share those together. And I thought about it. I was like, well, that's a lovely way to look at it. So we actually push each other because we've never been apart. We have been apart 8 hours total since we met over, God, now over, what, 12 years? Yeah, 8 hours completely. If you add it all up, we've been apart 8 hours.
Wow.
And that might not work for everyone, but it works for us. And it works because I can't get away with anything. Like, there's no space in my life for, like, I can't fib. I can't say I did something if I didn't. And I can't, he knows my expression. So if I kind of want something or something interests me, he knows before I even say it. And he can actually say, okay, that's what we're going to go for. Or that's what you got to go get. Or yeah, you need to go buy that. Or whatever it is in our lives, you know, we know each other's likes and dislikes. And so we're really pushing each other to try to make the most out of this, the little time that we get together on this planet.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would say that, you know, a good relationship is like a well-orchestrated dance. And Mira and I are expert dancers at this point. I mean, we just would be after being together as long as we have been. I know her every strength that she has. She knows every strength that I have. We also know each other's weaknesses. And, you know, one of our big advantages is we are almost opposite in many ways. So, you know, things that I'm really not very good at, I like the details of things, Mira is really good at. And again, this is just it's just chance that we kind of connected in this way. I'm much more of a big picture person. I love, you know, looking at the big picture and coming up with where are we going to be 10 years from now, 5 years from now, and what has to, you know,
and then he just leaves it there.
Yeah. And then I say, Mira, what do we do? And then Mira's like, okay, I got all the details. And then it just works well for us. I think we're very blessed to work as well as we do together. And I think this is an area of business that's probably going to be emerging, you know, husbands and wives really working together. Because one of the big things that I notice in relationships, just, you know, from observation, is when two people are as passionate about their business as we are. If I'm over here, let's say I would have gone into, you know, continued doing clinical practice and seeing clients, and maybe Mira, you know, continued to be a publicist. She's off doing her things each and every day. She makes her relationships with the people, and she has to do those things. And when we come home at night, we're both so tired that it's very hard to communicate, you know, well, the excitement of the day, or even want to regurgitate everything that happened. With us, you know, we have that ability to be able to come home and we know what happened in the day. We get to
help each other deal with the stress of this life as well. I mean, every single day is a roller coaster. I'm sure you know, with business, with book launches, with everything that we're doing. And it's nice to be able to put it on somebody else's shoulders and be able to take turns. Because if not, it would be I can't even imagine doing it otherwise.
That's really well said, and I just couldn't resist asking because you guys are such a team. You know, even you do all these interviews together, and you could definitely be like, you do this interview, I'll do that interview, but we do it together.
We were actually asked this morning to possibly do a new TV show on one of the major networks.
Wow.
And they said, okay, so why don't you, Mira, you can fill out the application, and Jason can fill out his own. I'm like, no. You don't understand something. You don't get one of us. Like, that's not even an option. We would rather turn it down. We said we will turn down anything where they will not let us do it together.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
people don't even – I mean, people have actually stopped even emailing us separately. They just emailed Jamira. Jamira, what's going on? So, you know, we don't mind it, actually. Yeah, and it's nice, and it's just
it's not nice, for everyone,
it's not
it
for
works
everyone.
For us.
It does work for us.
That's awesome. Yeah, sometimes – we muse about, you know, if my business gets big enough, maybe my husband and I could work together. But we generally kind of, I'm short with him when he's helping me with my business. So this is inspiring. You know, it's like you said, I'm accountable to be on my best behavior. And probably that's a good thing.
Yep. But you are seeing it more and more. I mean, Haley and Bill of Primal Palette are working together. Diane Sanfilippo of Practical Paleo, also now her boyfriend is also in this. A fiance. Sorry, Scott. is also in this realm. We're seeing a lot more couples, Isabel and Michael Wenz, of course, like you said, Hashimoto's. So we're seeing a lot more couples working in this arena together. Sometimes they're both in the forefront, and sometimes only one of them is the, I guess, the face of it, and one is in the background. But it really, I think, you know, I think we're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense for sure. Okay, well, thank you for indulging me, and let's talk about your book. So as you mentioned earlier, Jason, you know, you traveled the world and you saw there are different types of diets, probably depending on where people live and their traditions and what's available. And in these multiple types of diets, if people can be healthy, if they were getting enough micronutrients.
Right.
So your book doesn't focus on this is a paleo diet or this is a vegan diet. It kind of invites people to have their own preferences or be living in their own tropical environment or, you know, Arctic environment or wherever they are, and still follow a few tenets in your book and have success. Is that a good summary so far?
Absolutely. We coined a term called the Nutrivore, and we hope that what this term will do is bring us together under that, again, under that common umbrella that all dietary philosophies must adhere to. We must all start focusing on becoming sufficient in that those micronutrients. And we don't want to see all this, you know, arguing and fighting and debating about what's the better diet. The fact is we need, you know, there's a certain amount of carbs, fats, and proteins that can be in the diet. That's your own preference. You know, that's for you to decide what you want to do. And that's a journey that will probably change in and of itself. But one thing that will always be sure is that you got to get those micronutrients in. So by focusing on becoming more of a nutrivore than, you know, a paleo dieter or a vegan, then we can start to work together to get to the bottom of what we all really want anyway, which is optimal health.
Awesome. That makes sense. So I'm kind of summarized your three tenets as number one is identify and eat the micronutrients dense foods within your own dietary preferences. And two is to avoid micronutrient depleters. And three is smart supplementation. Could you guys just elaborate on each of those a bit?
Sure. So step one, we say switch to rich. By rich, we mean foods that are rich in micronutrients, or as you said, micronutrient dense. We actually, in the book, go down every aisle of the grocery store, and we tell you a good, better, best system about how to choose each of these things, how to choose your dairy, how to choose your meat, how to choose your vegetables, how to choose your grains, how to choose your spices even, and your alcohol. So we really want to give you a point-and-shoot guide to how to get the most micronutrients in every single delicious bite.
Then we go into the lifestyle habits because, you know, the first thing is you're going to get your micronutrients in through your food, but then something happens called life. And now you got to do the subtraction part of the equation. We did the addition by eating the micronutrients and ingesting them. But now we have to look at how is stress affecting your micronutrient levels? Maybe pollution, maybe drinking alcohol or coffee or food or tea, foods that contain anti-nutrients. How about over-the-counter or prescription medications? So we kind of go over all the lifestyle factors that we're faced with on a day-to-day basis, and not so much want you to change them necessarily, but we want you to become aware of just how many micronutrients are being depleted from your lifestyle. Because a lot of people come to us and say, you know, I eat a really good diet, and that's good, but when we look at and they sit down and really take a hard look at what their lifestyle is, they start to say, wow, there's a lot of subtraction going on, and that will allow us to really see a clear picture of just where you may be on the micronutrient sufficiency deficiency scale, and allow us to know whether or not supplementation is right for you.
Yeah, tell us more about the supplementation, because it's one thing I appreciate. First of all, I love supplements. I do. I'm always trying new supplements, and I love learning about supplements. And you guys really broke it down, even back in Naked Calories, about how supplements can really differ, even just being exposed to air or what form they're in. Talk about that.
Sure. So we created something called the ABCs of Optimal Supplementation Guidelines. And the A, the B, the C, and the S are all the four major flaws that we found in most supplements on the market. And what we do is we tell you how to fix these flaws so that you can pick the best products. So A is for absorption. B is for beneficial forms and beneficial quantities. C is for micronutrient competitions. And S is for micronutrient synergies. And what we do with this is we give you a checklist in each of these, in each of those letters. And we tell you how you can get the best absorption, exactly which forms of which micronutrients you want and how much of each of them you want in your product. So you can basically go through the grocery store or your supplement store or wherever you're currently picking up your products and or online, and of course, and you can look through the guide, look at the supplement facts, know what words you want to look for, and know what words you want to avoid.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd love to just try to weave these tenets into some of the special sections you have in your book. So you've got some general guidelines that help with energy and can help with weight loss as needed. But then you've got some sections that I thought would appeal to some of our lady listeners. And one of those is blood sugar, which is usually the driver behind PCOS, kind of the most common women's hormone disorder. And you know, within that section, there's some things I noted. So one was BPA, which is a plastic. And I guess we could call that a nutrient depleter. Tell us what BPA does to our blood sugar.
Okay, so what interesting thing is, so the way the book's set up is we have 10 golden rules. And the 10 golden rules go to our signature plan. And then in each of the other 9 condition health condition specific protocols that we have, so you can focus in on like your heart disease or like this, the blood sugar regulation or osteoporosis. In each of these conditions, we go over how those 10 golden rules need to be changed or altered to fit this plan. So BPA is actually our golden rule number 2. We tell everybody to get rid of BPA. But it's especially important for those people who are in blood sugar regulation, because what research indicates is that BPA triggers the release of almost double the insulin actually needed to break down your food. Now, of course, we don't want that, especially important to people who are trying to lower their blood sugar. So getting rid of those BPA bottles, the cans, not touching the receipts in the grocery store. A new study actually just came out that, you know, everyone wipes down their carts now at the grocery store to get rid of germs, I guess, is the reasoning. I don't ever do that, but I see people taking that antibacterial stuff and just slathering it on. And then they go and they do their grocery shopping and then they go and get the receipt. Well, what they found out is because you just use that antibacterial cleanser, you absorb the BPA like 600% more.
Oh my gosh.
So we really are urging people not to do that. I mean, it's found in all sorts of products. So you really have to just be careful. Obviously, one of the things we want you to do is get rid of your plastics, stop using plastic containers. And then even when you go to the butcher, a lot of people don't think about this. They go to the butcher and they get a really good high quality piece of meat or fish. And then the butcher wraps it up in plastic paper, to that plastic wrap to send it home with you. That's BPA. You just bought a really good piece of fish and then coated it in BPA. And it's going to stay in that plastic for a while until you get it home to cook it.
Right. And don't forget, too, BPA is found in your kitchens, too. So you store things in the Tupperware and the plastic bowls. You're packing your children's lunches and you're putting the sandwich in that plastic container. And it's just going to sit in there in the heat maybe or whatever. So we have to – or in these plastic baggies. So we live in a world where it's all surrounding us. And most of us, once – so we, you know, Mira and I walk on stage and we start talking to you about BPA and where it's found, you see kind of a light going up like, oh my gosh, why am I putting my kids in little bag, plastic baggies and plastic straws and plastic glasses and plastic cups and plastic plates and oh my goodness. But once you realize it, it's like it's pretty easy just to switch it to glass or to or even at the very least to a BPA-free container.
Yeah, for sure. And I should have mentioned earlier, you've got sample menus for the general plan, so to speak. People love sample menus, so it's good for me to mention it. And then for each of these types, you have a special sample menu. My impression was you give 1 week in the book and then 3 more weeks are on an online platform.
Exactly. So this is, if anyone doesn't know how publishing works, is you write and you write and you write, and then they say, oh, that's too many words. Or at least that's what happened to us. Actually, we have friends that wrote and wrote, and then they said, you have half a book. So it can happen both ways. But there's two of us, so we write a lot. And they actually said, you can't put the rest of the menu plans in the book. Well, I was like, but it's a 4-week plan. You can't give them 1 week. And they said, no, you can only give them 1 week. And I was like, oh no. So yes, the other 3 weeks are online for you. But yeah, that's how it happens. They just cut pages.
Okay. Yeah. And in this section on blood sugar, you really stress some of the protein shakes that you suggest in the plans and saying that's really important for blood sugar. You say the whey protein powder lowers blood glucose levels by 30%. Pretty impressive. And the L-glutamine in your shake that you suggest lowers sugar cravings, which is pretty awesome. Do you want to talk about more about why that happens?
Yeah, well, you know, again, that comes from, you know, actual published peer-reviewed research, and they gave the participants a whey protein concentrate about 30 minutes before their meals. And then they, you know, took their blood glucose levels, and they showed that the whey helped to significantly reduce the blood glucose levels, even in the subjects with the most severe insulin resistance, and without affecting the rate of actual insulin secretion. So, you know, we were getting some physiological response there. And this is a good way for people who, you know, a lot of diabetics think, well, I don't want to take in too much protein. And that is true. We're not saying to start overloading or necessary to follow a high protein diet.
But we're not saying a bodybuilder's protein shake. This is not what we're saying. We're saying a little bit of protein.
Yeah, a little bit of protein, you know, maybe like a scoop, maybe around 11, 12 grams of protein, just enough to be able to help with reducing that blood sugar level. And that might be a trick, and it's one of the different tips that we offer. You know, and also, like you mentioned, the L-glutamine, that's just something that a lot of people in the past have associated with helping them to reduce sugar cravings. It certainly is one of the side effects of that amino acid. Again, amino acids are part of our micronutrient
family.
But we can also help that in other ways as well by just becoming sufficient in our calcium and our magnesium. That'll also curtail any sugar cravings we may be seeing.
Another important micronutrient, I think it would be called a trace mineral, is chromium, which I'm surprised more people don't know about because it's such a key player in blood sugar, which has become just a hugely common problem. Can you talk about chromium?
Sure. So we're talking about chromium, and we like the form polynickenate. It's just, you know, considered, I think, by most to be a little bit more, a little safer than chromium picolinate. And what we're looking at is we want to use a pure niacin-bound chromium, which is the active component in what's called glucose tolerance factor. You know, there's a lot of researchers out there that think that diabetes is much more closely linked to a chromium deficiency than almost anything else. So you want it helps to regulate blood sugar. And again, like you mentioned, it is an essential micronutrient. And it's one of those things that people don't talk about when we're talking about diabetes. And so it's just another one of those things in our arsenal that when we're going to help you become micronutrient sufficient across the board, we're going to make sure that we recommend that you take a supplement with enough of the chromium in it so that it will allow your body to regulate the blood sugar naturally.
Yeah, well, let's take a minute to talk about when food is enough and when food is not enough, because I think there's a lot of confusion on that too. And my understanding is that chromium can be a little hard to get enough of from food. Is that true?
Yeah, actually when we were did it, okay, so one of the research studies that we did early on was to look at popular diet plans, and we looked at one of each of the types of things. So a low fat, a high fat, one paleo, one primal, a Mediterranean, and a doctor prescribed DASH diet. And what we did is we looked at them all and we did some studies and we said, okay, what would they, if we followed these diet books, what would we actually get? Like, would we be sufficient if we followed the recipes to a T? And we studied it. And what we found is the primal and the paleo were the closest, coming in at 56% deficient, I believe.
Yes.
At getting enough micronutrients. And even they were deficient in their chromium. Like, chromium is one of those things that is just, it's just not heavily in our diets.
Okay. So where could we get it, or where does it come from?
So you can get chromium from a wide variety of foods. Broccoli is actually one of the richest forms of chromium, as is onions, tomatoes, romaine lettuce, meats, cheeses, and nuts. So, you know, those are where you can get it through your food. But again, it's whether or not you can get you know, enough on a daily basis. So what we always say is get as much as you can through your diet. Now, you may be a person who doesn't eat a lot of broccoli or onions or tomatoes or lean meats, so you may not be getting it in your diet. Most people don't plan out their diets. It's just kind of haphazard.
But additionally, yeah, the other thing that you want to do is you want to make sure you're avoiding phytates. So you want to avoid your grains, because your grains are actually going to deplete you of your chromium, as well as you want to avoid sugary foods, because high sugar intake causes increased excretion of chromium. So you want to make sure to be avoiding that as well.
So do you think those might be a couple reasons why the primal and paleo diets scored pretty well, because they don't have those depleters, or do you think it's another reason?
Yeah, actually, we were surprised that they, well, we didn't know what to expect. You know, we actually are good friends with Diane Sanfilippo and Mark Sisson and all those guys, and we had that.
We hated having to judge their diet. We're like, don't take any of this personally, guys.
Yeah, we had that whole community saying, well, what about us? What about us? And you did all this great research. You published this research. So we said, well, we'll take a look at your diets too. And we did it really tenderly, because we wanted to, but we also you know, did it with the same standards as we did for any of the others. And I thought that they might come back a little higher, to be honest, but 56% is where they fell in, at about a 2000 to 2200 calorie range.
And calcium and chromium were the big deficiencies. Those both came back that way. And just to make it clear, we judged the food that they took in. So they were deficient prior to even looking at how much would have been depleted by sugars or phytates. So they would win twofold, because the other diets, while they were also depleted in chromium, they still would have had grains to further deplete the chromium. So we didn't even take into account any of the anti-nutrients.
Yeah, and just, I have a quick quote here that I found while I was thinking about it, by Dr. Walter Mertz, MD, the former director of the USDA Human Nutrition Research Center. And he was a huge proponent of chromium. And this is a quote directly from him back in 1959. He stated that type 2 diabetes is not a disease. It's a lack of a natural ingredient known as GTF chromium, or glucose tolerance factor. So it's just, you know, it gives us a perspective that, you know, lots of times diseases or health conditions are linked to micronutrient deficiencies, and then our medical community gets their hands on them, and then they want to try, the drug companies have, you know, decide, oh, wait a minute, we don't want to link it to
it's
a micronutrient, yeah, we can't patent that, so what we'll do is we'll call it a disease, and we'll make a drug for it, and we'll just kind of sweep that under the rug.
But so what year was that, hon?
That was 1959.
Okay, so that was 1959. Let's just put a few things in perspective. So that's 1959. Two interesting things came out this week. This week, Alzheimer's has been shown to be definitively a B1 or thiamine deficiency. So we've been blaming it on inflammation. We've been blaming it on all these other things. And now they're saying, wait a minute, you know, it's B1. They're deficient in B1. And they started that knowledge, what was it, 100 years ago?
Yeah, 100 years ago, there was a Russian scientist who published the fact that
amnesia
was from a thiamine or a B1 deficiency. Again, swept under the rug. And now we're starting to see modern science. We're getting back to it. We're starting to understand how this relates.
And then today, another cool study came out. A couple days ago, I guess. And this stated that all these things that we've been blaming on inflammation, we've been saying, and it's true, there's truth to this, that heart disease, that obesity, yeah, that high blood sugar, that high blood pressure, that cholesterol levels were all based in inflammation, which is true, they say. But then they took it a step further, say, you know what we found out? Inflammation is caused by micronutrient deficiencies.
Yeah, that we actually got a call from Prevention
Magazine.
I think it was Prevention Magazine, and Bruce N. Ames, which is a good friend of ours at Berkeley, he actually led up that study showing that these micronutrient deficiencies are part of the causative factor of this inflammation that we've all kind of known is at the core base of disease.
And so, the other cool thing about that study, hon, is that they, in the study, in order to prove this, they supplemented twice a day with micronutrients in order to see if they could just reverse these things without changing people's lives. And they did. They lost the weight. Those markers got all in shape just by supplementing twice. And that's awesome for us, because in the Micronutrient Miracle, we actually have the person doing a supplementation protocol twice a day, regardless of which condition-specific protocol they're doing. So that was good news for us.
Totally. I love that you guys are just so passionate. And then they came out with this study. And then we found this. So adorable.
Yeah, we sort of geek out and stuff together.
This is what we talk about all the time. We're not really in an interview now. We're just kind of like in a conversation.
Talking with friends.
This is just like dinner conversation. Yeah, I think this is a good segue to talk about supplementation. I feel like I talk to my clients about it a lot. And I'm primarily an acupuncturist. So sometimes they're not expecting me to talk about supplements. And people have heard things tossed around, like omega-3, for instance, you mentioned as being good for blood sugar. And I think people have heard of that, and maybe they've taken fish oil from time to time and not really sure how much they should take, or they kind of forgot to take it. Or, you know, they think they should take a multi, but then they go get it from Target or Costco, and then I'm kind of cringe. So you guys have done a lot of study on diets and where they are lacking, even perhaps a really good intention diet, and also in the supplements themselves. Tell us a little bit about your research and the supplements you've developed.
Well, our research into supplementation was, again, partially by accident, because we had to figure out a way to get Mira's body to absorb the vitamins and minerals that she needed to reverse her bone disease. So, you know, just taking obviously a multivitamin wasn't going to work. And so we started to really dig into how the micronutrients related to each other. And we found that they are just like family members. Some of them really do well together and are attractive and work synergistically. And others are, you know, argue a lot and they're very competitive and are antagonistic. And that was really kind of a very eye-opening for me, because up until that point, again, I had already been in practice for well over 10 years, and I had always just, you know, recommended that somebody follow a diet, whatever diet I was recommending at that particular time. And I would say take a multivitamin just to cover your bases, you know, just kind of like what a lot of nutritionists and medical doctors do today. We discovered, like Mira said, the four flaws of supplementation. And we really started with the very first thing. You know, if you take a multivitamin in a pill or capsule form and it doesn't disintegrate, what does it really matter what's in it? Right. So we start with disintegration, and we really went to
A for absorption.
Yeah, A for absorption. And we looked at the, you know, the pharmacist manuals, and we said, you know, how often do these pills and capsules disintegrate? Is there any research on this? And we found, yes, there is actually published research where they actually take the multivitamins right off the shelf and they bring it to the laboratory and they put it in the specific environment, like your gut environment, and see if it disintegrates within the 20-minute allotted time period. And the research shows that 51% of the vitamins right off the shelves didn't disintegrate. So that gives you a good idea of why we then said, well,
maybe a powder works better.
Yeah. The first step is to make it a powder that you'd add right to liquid, so we could bypass that step altogether.
The great thing about doing a powder, we figured out quickly, is that if you make a powder, you don't have to worry about it fitting into a pill. You can put as much darn powder as you want. And
true.
It's okay. So a lot of the minerals are really bulky, your calcium, your magnesium. And that's why if you look at the back of a supplement, you'll never see enough calcium or magnesium. It wouldn't fit unless you were taking handfuls. So that was beneficial quantities. And we wanted to go through over each one. And what we'll tell you in the short run here is that we ended up creating a multivitamin for me that was a powdered multivitamin with an AM and a PM dose that were separated, and we separated them again because of those antagonistic relationships. So the AM dose is completely different formulation than the PM, and it's taken twice a day because a lot of the water-soluble vitamins rush through your body quickly, so it's kind of like you need to take them over and over, you know, more than once a day to have them there when your body needs them. And we created this. It's called Nutrience, spelled Nutrience, because it's phonetically nutrients. And we created it for me, and I started taking it. Our clients were like, well, how come I can't take that powdered stuff? And so then we started making more and more powder, and then we just generally had to come out with a multivitamin.
I love it. Yeah. And I feel like I've had this conversation so many times, and I'm like so happy you're just telling my whole audience right now, because I always say to ask people, you know, are you taking in minerals? And they always kind of furrow their brow. I'm like, I'm taking a multivitamin, which probably has minerals. And I say the same thing, you know, minerals are very bulky. And if you see some magnesium in your formula, look and see, it'll be like 4% or 8% at the most. Like, they can't fit that much magnesium in. And Yeah, to separate it into the two doses. One thing you talk about is iron, and that's a real competitor. Can you talk about where that fits into all this?
Yeah, iron is actually what we've discovered is the most competitive micronutrient. So we don't include iron in our formula. In fact, there's a call out there to get iron out of all multivitamins. And again, it's just because, really, if iron is in there, it's going to compete with so many different 10 different micronutrients. So it really throws things off. Now, that does not mean that people do not need iron. It just means that iron, it should not be combined with, all the other, vitamins and minerals that you're expecting your body to absorb and to utilize. So the nice thing about nutrients, again, is it's an AM and a PM. So we have people take the AM in the morning, the PM at night, and that leaves you a big space of the day in the middle where you could take an iron supplement.
Should you be someone who requires one? And iron is one of the things that people test regularly in their doctor's offices. So even if you don't go get a SpectraCell test or a more in-depth analysis of your micronutrient levels, iron is something that your doctor will tell you if you need to be taking it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one to know about. And you talk about, I'm going to shift gears a bit. I think you talk about iron in your thyroid for thyroid health or autoimmune disease. Catch me up on where you said iron is important for women.
Well, again, it comes to do with stomach acid. So people with hypothyroidism typically have lower stomach acid production, which can result in a malabsorption of iron. So, and of course, low iron levels lead to anemia. So, and actually, which includes symptoms similar to hypothyroidism, such as brain fog, depression, hair loss, and weakness. And that also, or in addition to, iron deficiency will also reduce the conversion of the thyroid hormone to T4, so into T3. So it's very, very important to have proper iron levels, whether or not you've got hypothyroidism or not, just depending on whether or not you are one of these people who is
If
going
you're a
to
big
need iron. Yeah.
exerciser or women of certain ages require more iron.
Okay, menstruating
And we find
women.
that even people on the paleo diet, that's one of those big myths. People say like, oh, I'm eating all this meat and I'm fine. And then they actually get tested. And we've had quite a few people who've actually come forward and said, oh, I never thought I would have had to worry about this.
And if people are going to take iron, they want to make sure that they're probably going to be taking non-heme iron, which is typically what you find in a supplement. And they might want to also pair that with its natural synergist, which is vitamin C. And
Okay.
that will help the absorption of iron quite a bit. That's why they pair together nicely.
Okay, that makes sense. So iron deficiency and thyroid are intertwined in various ways. I'm just gonna just shoot you guys with several little hormone questions before we wrap up. Tell some other nutrients that are important for thyroid, perhaps in hypothyroid or in Hashimoto's.
Yeah, I think the biggest ones are vitamin A, B1, B12, vitamin D, E, obviously iodine, iron, like we touched on, selenium, and zinc. Now, there's others that are involved, but those are the real big players. And I think, we don't talk a lot about selenium when it comes to hypothyroidism, but it's really important. I mean, you need selenium, and selenium actually is going to help too. A lot of times people say, well, I have an iodine deficiency or my iodine isn't absorbing correctly. Well, you need that selenium. It's basically really works as a synergist with the iodine.
Okay, awesome. And then how about hormone regulation? A lot of people out there are suffering from low cortisol or kind of highs and lows of cortisol or the PMS, just some hormone imbalance that they're trying to get a hold of. And yeah, feel free here to mention some lifestyle factors because I know you include that in your book, which is great. And certainly, the way we live to choose to live our lives or unconsciously live our lives can really deplete us, right?
Yeah, well, stress is a big factor, obviously, for a lot of us these days, and especially plays a lot of role in hormone balance because stress releases the release increases the release. There you go, increases the release of cortisol, and that hormone then spikes appetite and increases that that muffin top that none of us want to have, and so you just want to make sure that you're taking care of your cortisol levels to get more hormonal balance. And the vitamin C is actually really key for that. It actually can really help with that fight or flight and the release of cortisol. They actually did some studies where for stress reduction, they actually tested people and they tried to stress them out, and they were able to. They stressed them out and released a lot of cortisol, and they did all the tests. And then they got them sufficient in their vitamin C and did it again to them. And they weren't even allowed to, the person did not freak out. The person did not get all those metabolic symptoms of stress, and they did not release cortisol. So it's really important that you stay sufficient in your vitamin C for that, for the cortisol levels.
Oh, that's a really interesting study. Yeah. Another thing you guys talk about in the book, what I was a little surprised to see, was about your preferred type of exercise. Mm-hmm. And you said that, you know, often with low hormones, you need to be careful not to over-exercise and not to do like long runs. But you mentioned that some exercises you suggest are actually totally safe and can boost your hormones. Talk about that.
Right. So we don't want to stress out our hormone or our adrenal glands. And with exercise, you know, it can mimic fight or flight, can't it? I mean, we're out there pushing and pulling and running as hard as we can. And it's hard for our bodies to know, you know, if we're running from a tiger or we're just running for fun. And so what we did is we created something called ZMT, or zero movement training. And it's twofold. It's not just for the hormone regulation. We use it for other protocols as well. But it's interesting because what we have you do is it's a 20-minute workout, but you only move for 4.5 of those minutes. And we do want you to move at an intense pace for you during those 30-second bouts, which are equals 4.5 minutes during that 20-minute time frame. But then in the rest of the time, you're resting. You're allowing your body to recover. You're not hurting your joints. And what happens in that zero movement spectrum of time is the heart rate actually increases. So you get this great cardiovascular benefit by following our zero movement training. And this is something we created about 10 years ago.
That's so awesome. I love the name zero movement training.
Exactly. I think that'll appeal to a lot of people. It's really funny because people see us doing it at the gym, and a lot of times people will look at us like, because we'll do, you know, you'll run on the treadmill and then you'll just get off and stop and stand there, and the treadmill's still running. And they just look at us like, what, are you done? Or can we use your machine? And I'm like, no, it's part of my workout, you know?
That's really funny. Yeah, I was telling a client yesterday that I used to run a lot when I was younger, and every now and then I try to get back into it, and you know, now I can run like a couple miles, but I still feel like it's not working for me. You know, my body isn't in a place where it wants to run. So yeah, going back into doing some bursts or checking out your ZMT might be my way to go.
There yeah. you go. Love to hear your results with it.
Right on. Well, I think I'm going to start wrapping up. So I know people would love to hear more. We mentioned your supplements. I assume that's on your website, CarltonNutrition.com, or is there a better place to find it?
Yeah, you can learn all about the supplements at CarltonNutrition.com, but we've got a really cool thing we want to tell you about where they can find out an awesome offer, if I say so myself, that some really generous companies have helped us to put together.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well, every single person who grabs a copy of the Micronutrient Miracle before August 31st, they have to send us the receipt. They can buy it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, their local bookstore. We love supporting the local bookstores. And they can grab a copy of it, and they just mail us the receipt. And every single person is going to get $200. That's $200 and same as cash gift certificates. So they can go to our favorite purveyors online, people like Wild Things Seafood and Steaks, Vital Choice Seafood, U.S. Wellness Meats, Thrive Market, and Cassandrina's Extra Virgin Olive Oils. And you can literally go there, and we're giving you like a gift certificate. So you don't have to go. It's not like I'm giving you $20 and you have to spend $200. I'm giving you $25, and that means you have $25 to go spend there. And like at Casadrita's, you can get an entire bottle of olive oil that he brings over and imports organic olive oil from his family's place in Greece. So you can get these amazing things all sent to you no matter where you live. And you can find out more
in the U.S.
In the U.S. at My Miracle Gifts, plural. So it's mymiraclegifts.com.
And I think you're going to have a link.
Yeah, you'll have a link.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll link to it so you don't have to go try to scratch it down. So it'll be in the show notes and it'll be on the blog. And yeah, I saw you put this out a few weeks ago and I was like, yeah, I gotta get me that, 'cause that's some this is a good gift certificate. So I'd be a fool to not get that. So I already got it for myself. And yeah, it's a great book. I was really impressed. Lots of information I haven't read before, lots of details for people. Many of my clients and people I meet actually really like to just follow a plan. I'm like you guys are saying, I'm less of a detail person. It's hard for me to like give people a plan. But most people love it. So I think it's really great you made this detailed plan and people can get results and just learn more about micronutrients and what depletes them. And knowledge is power. So
Absolutely. We wanted to make people feel like they are a private client. I mean, when you delve into the book, just read it like you would a regular book. You get in it, you're going to do the analysis. The analysis is going to give you a list of the micronutrients that you personally are most likely deficient in based on your lifestyle and your dietary habits and your supplementation habits. And then, the same protocols that we give to our private clients here are the same ones we put in the book. We wanted to make this a real experience and that you could do for 28 days. And with these gift certificates, it's really going to help to take the financial burden off of you when you're trying to get the grass-fed meats and the wild-caught fish and the non-toxic home goods. Even if they're not available in your area, this was a way for us to make sure that you could get these things. And a lot of people say, why would these companies give us this? They're betting that you're most likely going to really like what they've got to offer. They're only available online, so that this is their way for you to get to know them. And it's really just good old-fashioned grassroots marketing, try it before you buy it type of a thing. They realize that you'll probably come back, and even if you don't come back, you might tell somebody else about them.
Right. Yeah. I want to point out too, I've been listening to some checking out some new podcasts, and I want to point out that this show does not have ads. We're not trying to sell you shower curtains or shirts. But what I do ask you to do is, Mira and Jason have come on. They're super passionate about this topic. They really know their stuff. And I think what I'm going to kind of make a point to do more on the show is we really invite you to go check out the resources of our guests, because we have amazing guests and they have amazing resources. And this little package that you get when you buy the book by August 31st, 2015, in case you're catching this show a year from now, is a great deal. So obviously their heart is really in it. And I just read the book over the last week and I think you'd really enjoy it. So hope you check it out. Yeah, and thanks to you two for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Oh, this was so
this
much
is
fun.
awesome.
Thank you so much,
So
Bridget.
fun. I wish you guys the best. I can't wait to see your TV show if it happens.
No.
Well, fingers crossed that we get it
still.
That'll
be
but
so adorable.
Manifesting.
Okay. Well, I'll be manifesting with you. And to our listeners, thanks for your time. We appreciate you choosing to check out the show. We appreciate you subscribing, telling friends, and we always appreciate your iTunes ratings and reviews. You just go into iTunes and find Women's Wellness Radio, and you can write a note about the show so more people can find it. Until next week, thanks everyone. Bye-bye.